Did everybody get a rock this morning? Raise your hand if you did not get a rock. It's kind of interesting. I was handing these out this morning. Most people asked if they were going to, if my sermon got bad, whether they were going to stone me. And I was curious that you immediately went to that use for the rock. It could be a lot of other uses for rocks, I think. But yeah, you seem to have kind of this tendency to want to raise it up. Well, you were right, actually. We're going to talk some about rocks this morning. And the question I want to ask before we get started is the church a place for rocks or stones? Is the church a place for stones? Some of my friends over the years have kind of looked at the church sometimes as an angry and judgmental place. That's the view they have, whether that's been their own experience or whether they've just looked from a distance and formed that opinion from what they've seen. A place where you follow legalistic rules, where someone is just waiting for you to step out of line so that they can whack you. And my question is that really what the church is about? We've been asking this question for several weeks now. What is the church about? What are we about? And we've been looking at different encounters that people have with Jesus and asking the question, are we about Jesus? And who is Jesus and what is he about? Is the church a place for stones? Well, we're studying an encounter that Jesus had with the adulterous woman found in John chapter 8. So if you would turn to that, we're going to read that story. There's a lot of different things that we could talk about in this story that I'd like to get into, but I only have about 25 minutes. So we're going to have to just cut to a few points that I would like to make. John, we're going to start in chapter 7, verse 53, and read through verse 11. Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were asking this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Well, the first question I have in looking at this passage, and I think one that we need to look at, is Jesus soft on sin? Is Jesus soft on sin? You might get the idea from this story that Jesus is soft on sin, and maybe others would. In fact, I was looking at this passage. There's some discussion about whether this passage should be in John. Most scholars believe it should be here, but there's been some discussion. It was not found in earlier manuscripts. And some even would say that the reason it wasn't found in earlier manuscripts is because it was too radical. This kind of seemingly this blatant forgiveness that Jesus shows to this woman too radical for that time. That's some of the thinking as to maybe why it was not found in the earlier manuscripts. But adultery was a big deal back then, probably a lot bigger than it is today. It's still a big deal today, but it was probably a much bigger deal back then. And this woman seems to get off scot-free. Was Jesus soft on sin? Now, this idea could not be, thank you, Dorothy, this idea could not be further from the truth. Nowhere, including this passage, do you see Jesus making excuses or looking the other way or condoning sin in any way. In fact, Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount that the law really only scratched the surface of what sin was. You remember the things that he said. You have heard it said, do not murder. But I say anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You have heard it said, love your neighbor. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then the one we're looking at here, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he ends this passage, remember the verse, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus was not soft on sin. In fact, he sets the bar higher than what the law laid out in the Old Testament was. Of any of us, he understands the awfulness of sin. He endured the cross, he was condemned, he was bruised for our transgressions. It says, upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. There is no softness in the story of the cross. Every lie, every gossiping word, every prideful act, every sexual sin, angry thought contributed to the jeering, the lashes that tore his flesh, the spitting, the cursing, the beatings, and the nails. No. Jesus and God the Father know the consequences of sin, and they were not soft on it. It cost them more than we will ever understand. But what about the sinner? That's the question I want to look at this morning. What about the sinner? How should we look at the sinner? And I want to look at this question from several perspectives. First of all, from the Pharisees' perspective, and looking at them. I want to look at it from Jesus' perspective. And then finally from the woman's perspective, who is really at the center of this debate. So let's begin with the Pharisees. This is kind of a picture that I think of when I think of the Pharisees. And a word that I think would maybe be a good word to use would be condemnation. To summarize, the Pharisees, their legalism and their condemning of people. And in this particular case, their primary intent was to trap Jesus, to condemn him. If they could get him to speak out against the law in behalf of this woman, and they probably expected him to do so, then they could condemn him to death. And so that was their intent. But you know, I think we're a little hard on the Pharisees. It's really easy. We see it often. It's really easy to look at how they act and how they respond and to point our fingers at them and say, wow, I'm sure glad I'm not like that. But isn't the reality true that some of that thinking creeps into our thinking, how we look at other people? I think so. I think we need to look at them and at the same time look at ourselves. It's not too hard to find some of these attitudes among us and even in our own hearts. They didn't have any compassion. They really didn't care for the woman. They were merely using her for their own purposes. They had something they wanted to accomplish, and this woman was part of the plan to accomplish that. And they condemned her as well. Not just Jesus. She was a sinner, as they would say. What rights does she have anyway? It wasn't their fault that she finds herself in this position. Or was it? They had little compassion for her, if any. And they made a spectacle of her. They interrupted Jesus in the middle of his teaching. This crowd of people brought her and stood her out in front of these people and in front of Jesus. Can you imagine the humiliation that she felt? The fear that she felt? Her life was on the line. They considered themselves obviously vastly superior to her. They were the righteous ones, she was the sinner. They exercised their control over her to force her to comply with the law. And they were ready to enforce the consequences, kind of like a spiritual police force, if you would. That's how the Pharisees approached this woman that they called a sinner. Well, how does Jesus respond? What does he do? He writes on the ground. Very curious passage. And there's been a lot said about what in the world was he writing on the ground? A lot of us would like to know. But it's not recorded. We don't know what he wrote on the ground. We could say a lot of things about what it might have been. Maybe he was writing their sins on the ground that he would have known. Maybe he was simply writing their names. Or maybe he was just helping everyone to slow down and think about what was happening here. You ever needed that before, just to slow down and think about what you're saying and what you're doing? Really think about it? I have. We're not sure what he was writing or the intent that he had. But anyways, they keep pressing him for an answer. And they think that they've got him because he doesn't answer immediately. And finally, he stands up and looks them in the eye and says, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." If any one of you is without sin, then you can be the first one to throw a stone. When I think of this, my thoughts go to who Jesus is again. We talked about this earlier, that Jesus is the light of the world. And when you get close to Jesus, watch out, because he's going to reveal truth in your life, not just other people's lives, but in your life. And that's exactly what he does. He points them to look at their own hearts. His light revealed the darkness of their own souls, and he immediately leveled the playing field. They had it stacked, and Jesus leveled it with one statement. And I wonder, do you ever wonder, how do you catch someone in the act of adultery? Ever wonder how you do that? My guess is maybe they had some inside information. It seems like you would have to have some inside information in order to be able to catch someone in the act of adultery. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of these guys were in on it. Maybe they set her up. I think it's a very strong possibility that she was set up. Yes, she did it, but she was set up. Because think about it. Where was the guy? If you really look at the Old Testament law, what does it say? It says they both should be stoned. So if they caught the woman in the act of adultery, it seems like they could have caught the guy too. Somehow he got away. A little curious, isn't it? In fact, I don't know, maybe the guy was one of them. We don't really know. But it's something that raises questions, I think. And I think Jesus raised those questions in their own mind. I don't know what they were thinking of, but it's obvious that they were coming to grips with the sin in their own hearts that they needed to deal with. And so he bends back down after saying that, and he writes on the ground again. And one by one, the older ones first, I don't know why it says the older ones first. Does anybody have a guess? Why did the older ones leave first? Were they wiser? Maybe they came to grips sooner with what their lives were like. But it says the older ones left, went first until they were all gone. He revealed the duplicity of their actions, and one by one they left. But Jesus straightens up and asks her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And most translations actually say "Lord" in that. I'm not sure why the NIV uses "sir." But most say "Lord." "No one, Lord," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Well, how would you describe Jesus' response to the woman? There would be a lot of words we could use, but this is one word that comes to my mind: grace. He alone had the right to condemn her, right? I mean, he was sinless. He alone had the right to condemn her. But instead, he extends grace and forgiveness. What was his intent with her and with all of us sinners? If you remember one of the verses we read from the story of Nicodemus, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." His intent is to redeem the world, not to condemn the world. His intent is to redeem us, not to condemn us. His intent is to save us. That's what Jesus' intent was and is. What about the woman? What is she thinking? Can you imagine standing there in front of the temple, in front of the Pharisees? She knew she was guilty. She understood the seriousness of her sin and her situation. And like I said earlier, her life is on the line. What's going to happen in this confrontation? No doubt she was terrified, embarrassed, humiliated, and waiting to see what the verdict would be. And then to watch as one by one your accusers walk away, until it's just you and Jesus. And then from Jesus he says, "Neither do I condemn you." To receive a pardon for her sin. Can you imagine the feeling? The emotions that she had, the range of emotions that she felt during that time, must have been an incredible time for her. What joy, what wonder that we can have from being set free. This grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we look at sinners? How do you and I look at them? Well, the reality is that you and I are sinners. It's not the other people. We are sinners, all of us. We're no different than this woman. We all stand condemned in our sin. We all stand with her. But Jesus came to intervene. Scripture says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." Whoever believes in him is not condemned. What joy, what wonder, if we believe we are set free, the slate is wiped clean. How can we describe that kind of feeling of having that slate wiped clean? Can you identify with the woman and how she must have felt from going from being condemned to being set free? What an incredible thing. And I think it's a beautiful story for us to look at the redemption story of why Christ came. It's a beautiful story. What is our response to this kind of grace? What is our response? Well, an obvious response, I think, is obedience, devotion, adoration, praise, honor, and glory being given to Him. We sang about those things this morning. A very natural response. How could we think of going back to our same way of life after experiencing this kind of grace and forgiveness? It's unthinkable. Go and sin no more, is what Jesus said. It is our response to the grace that is offered to us. The church is not a place for stones. The church is a place of grace. It is not a place of hostility. It is a place of healing. It is not a place of judgment. It is a place of forgiveness. It is not a place of pride and self-righteousness. It is a place of humility. And this morning, I want to offer three challenges to you that I want you to think about. And the first one is, I want you to lay down your stones, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I want you to lay down your stones. I want you to think about these stones, and go ahead and pick them up. Pick up your stone. And like I said, it was interesting to hear the comments this morning as I handed these stones. What are these stones for? And almost every one of you went to the idea of throwing it at somebody, of stoning. That's where you thought. I'm just being honest with you. And isn't it true that sometimes we think, that's kind of the way we think sometimes in our lives towards other people as well. I want you to raise it at me, okay? Don't throw it at me. Just raise it up, okay? Sometimes this happens in the church, where we are throwing stones. We're throwing them at each other. We're throwing them at people in the world. And I want you to think, is this really what we're about? To throw stones. Is this what the church is about? You can put it down. Thank you. So I want to encourage you to lay down your stones this morning. Not talking about being soft on sin. Not talking about we do need to challenge each other to grow. That's all a part of being a part of the body of Christ. But you know the difference between throwing a stone and challenging somebody to grow. There's a big difference. We know what it's like to throw a stone at somebody. And we've all done it. I've done it. The question really is, what is your intent to help someone? Are you intending to restore them, or are you intending to condemn them? Are you seeking redemption for them? Are you seeking to challenge, or are you seeking to criticize? Is it about reconciliation, or is it about revenge? I want you to lay down your stones. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 puts it well here. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I, that is our ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is our message to each other and to the world. A message of reconciliation. Put yourself in the place of the woman. This is my second point I want to make. Put yourself in her place, because we all really stand with her. We all are sinners, and we all deserve condemnation and judgment. There are many in our lives who we have hurt and wronged who have the legal right to throw stones at us for what we have done. Most of all, the perfect one, Jesus Christ. Your life is on the line, your life is in the balance, and if you believe, the stones fall, and you are set free. And I'm wondering, do you understand His grace? Do you understand the glorious wonder of His grace? And will you receive His grace? And my last challenge to you is what Jesus said at the end, go and sin no more. This is our response to grace, to go and sin no more. It's a logical response to this grace that has been extended to you. When we believe, God's Spirit comes to dwell inside each one of us. The old has gone, the new has come. That is God's promise over you. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer imprisoned to sin. We are set free. We are not under law, but we are under grace. There are no spiritual, there is no spiritual police force to keep us straight. We have God's Spirit living inside of us. And so I encourage you to surrender yourself, even more so today, to your Savior and your Lord, Jesus Christ. I want to close with a song that came to mind when I was preparing for this message. I don't know if it's will be one that's familiar with you. It's a song that was written about the thief on the cross. And I want you to listen to this. And I invite you to decide what you want to do with your stone. You're welcome to take it home if you want it to serve as a reminder to you. But I also invite you to come forward and just drop it on the floor down here in front of the stage as a symbol of saying, you know what, I'm not going to throw stones. I'm committed to that. I'm not going to throw stones. It could also be a symbol of your recognition that you are under grace and that those stones fall because of the grace that you and I have received through Jesus Christ. Either way, you're welcome. We're going to play this song in closing, and then Keith will come up and lead a time of sharing. But during that time, if you want to come forward and drop your stone here at the front, I welcome you to do that. Still so poor, you have everything.